Greetings, pod people. Charlie Cooper here of the Radio First Term Iraq Show. Do not adjust your rabbit ears. The rabbit zone you're about to enter is brought to you in high definition Dave Rabbit Audio.
Now everything's changing over. It's every good dream must end. It's everything's wasted on the way. I perceived her again. And I wasn't good enough to offer to take her away. And I forgot she knew just how to play me the right way.
Welcome to the home of new artists and their music. You're listening to The Rabbit Zone, and I'm your host, Dave Rabbit. Tonight we're going to showcase another artist that has really done some magnificent work, and the band is called Flashover. Flashover hails from Orange County, California. In an area dominated by emo and punk, they have stood out as a hard rock band. Their sound is compared often to Breaking Benjamin and 3 Days Grace, but contains a slightly more melodic approach to vocals. The group formed in June of 2006. Chris and Carlos had already formed a sort of informal band, but upon hearing songs on MySpace from Jason Corey's acoustic project, Juke, they decided to bring him in for an audition in late May. The three instantly hit it off, ad-libbing a song that night that would eventually become Lead Me to My Grave. Jason and Chris started writing song after song, and the band quickly gained footing. A month after forming in July, the band recorded their first demo with the help of Bullets and Octane. The 4-song demo featured songs like This Is Our Time and All Too Real. The band started performing in August after writing the tracks Burn You Down and Cold. They played venues such as Chain Reaction and will soon perform at The Whiskey in West Hollywood, California. The band members include Jason Corey, lead vocals and guitar, Chris, guitar and backing vocals, and Carlos on drums. Their website is www.myspace.com/flashovermusic. That's FLASHOVERMUSIC. So without further ado, let's get to an outstanding interview and some outstanding material, songs, and background of the band called Flashover. Okay, I'm talking to Jason Corey, who is basically the lead vocals and guitar player of the band. I guess you're kind of the head honcho, too, to a degree, aren't you, Jason?
Yeah, I pretty much do about 85% of the writing and kind of put the whole thing together a little bit.
Tell me about Chris and Carlos. I know in the bio you said something about that Chris and Carlos first kind of started the band to a degree, and then they heard your vocals and some other things that you were doing. Give me a little bit of information about that.
Yeah, they were working with another singer guy at the time, but they had heard my stuff on MySpace. I had a solo acoustic project going, and they really liked it, but I'm naturally a hard rocker. I just had, no one to play with. So to speak, right? Yeah. They asked me to come on in, and so I came in, and the other singer guy took off, and I guess he was leaving the band already, and they were pretty happy to see him go.
In other words, they weren't begging him to stay, in other words, after they heard you.
He was really flat, not great, not a lot of presence. But, we started ad-libbing, and that's what became Lead Me to My Grave, actually.
Well, you've heard the interviews with the other bands. I mean, I was the lead singer for my band back in the 60s, and there's a certain responsibility being lead singer, whether you started the band or whether you didn't. I mean, there's just a certain presence when you're the lead singer and you're fronting the band, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I always said I'd probably give up playing guitar before I actually gave up singing.
I mean,
it's just kind of the focal point.
I identify that because I suck playing a guitar. And I mean, when they said, well, you suck playing guitar, you can't play the guitar, you have to be a singer. I said, hey, man, take the guitar, burn it, we don't care, But at least, Jason, you have some outstanding abilities on the guitar. I mean, unlike me, who was doing, the bar chords and rocking along as you were, I was not really a big finger positioning guitar player. I was a bar chorder,
Oh, we use a lot of, we're in drop D flat, but we fill it out the chords a little bit, and then, try and use a little low end and high end and, fill it out a little bit more than just, using the standard bar chords. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it hasn't, rock bands haven't changed that much in 36 years, but at least you guys are doing something different. I always ask the band members this, the ones that I talk to, and I'm going to give you the third degree grill on this also. Since you kind of came in as a replacement, did the other guys, did they actually start the band Flashover?
Yeah, they'd only played together like two or three times, I guess. So they were really, in the infant stages of putting the band together.
But had they assigned the band name Flashover yet at that stage?
No, they didn't have a name.
Ah, so in other words, you were part of the process of the band name.
Yeah, I've been in a few bands before this, and my experience with the band name is that it's a giant fight because everybody kind of wants to put their stamp on it.
Exactly.
And okay.
So where did Flashover come from then?
I was just looking through stuff. I mean, I'd had a few names that I put up on the internet with their suggestions, mine, and I created little polls so that people could go and vote, and Flashover wasn't even one of them. And I was reading a news story on Fox News, and some lady had gotten hit by lightning, and I guess the process of the lightning jumping all over your skin is called Flashover.
Wow.
So I thought, that was kind of neat. And then I guess firemen have a different term for it, which is when everything in the room is hot enough to where everything combusts.
Exactly, yeah.
And so I thought, well, that's kind of neat because, we're trying to ignite the rock world right now, and it kind of just happened.
Man, that's a good story. That's one of the better stories of how the band happened, so that's kind of cool. Okay, tell me about a specific incident that happened in your life or an event, and when it happened, you knew that you wanted to pursue music as a serious endeavor.
Well, honestly, I kind of stumbled into it. I was an athlete growing up, so I didn't have access to a lot of music. But one day when I was living up in California, the guy who had moved in next door to us was a former member of Wings.
Oh, really?
And he wasn't there at the same time as McCartney, but he'd been in the band. And one day he just kind of said, hey, you want to ever learn guitar, then come on over. And, I mean, I love music. I just never thought I was going to get the chance to play it. But went over there and started playing, and I learned everything he could teach me in, like, 2 months. And then he said, you got to just do it on your own now. You know, he's like, the basics are the basics. Now you just get good at it. And after that, I mean, I play 3 or 4 hours a day just because I love it. I can't stop doing it, so.
But, you know, I mean, anybody that does anything that's great in life, they have to pursue it. I mean, I don't care what the passion is.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is, but I think it'll pay off one day for you guys. Okay, so lead me through the process of writing a song. Our intro song was All Too Real, which I really like. Tell me about All Too Real. Tell me about how the name was selected, and tell me the process that went into when you guys were writing this song together.
Okay, All Too Real is the only song that I've brought over from my old acoustic project, because I decided when I joined these guys, I was just going to do all new stuff with them and create a brand new experience. But All Too Real was just a song that I was always kind of stuck there, and I had an acoustic version. And then one day I was just kind of messing around, and that's what that intro riff is that I just kind of came up with, and it happened to fit that song. And so I put it together, and I took it to the band, and then Chris added those lead parts on the chorus. And, I mean, our writing process, we put together songs in about 15 minutes every time. We really click together.
Wow.
It's really super easy every time, so we can come out of every practice with a new song if we really want to.
So it's pretty much like kind of like the name. I mean, it's spontaneous combustions when you create things.
I mean, we were surprised because they come from really heavy, like, metal backgrounds, a lot of Metallica and Alice in Chains type of stuff.
Right.
And then I'm from, like, Nirvana, and then also big influencers like Breaking Benjamin and 3 Days Grace, which are much more modern bands.
Right.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised that we work as well as we do together, but everything just is very simple and easy, and we always have a good time. And
okay, well, tell me about the name, okay? All Too Real. Tell me about the name. How did you, you know, where's the name come from?
Generally, my names for my songs are just the line out of the actual song, whichever one kind of pops out at me. And so it's, you know, a line from the chorus, which I wrote the song, you know, just having girl troubles like, you know, everybody does. And, that's what it was, is just kind of chasing that dream girl and then finding out the realities there.
That she's a bitch from hell, right?
So,
what it reminds me of is this story about, you know, they're always talking about, like, you know, how hot, you know, this was before Britney Spears started, you know, flashing everybody. But, I mean, you know, when she was in her younger days, you know, and everybody's going, how hot she is, you know. And one of the best things I ever saw was, you know, I don't care how hot you think Britney Spears is, you know, she's a bitch to somebody or something like that. You know, and so what's funny is every single band member, every single interview, you know, there's always some song that the band plays that has to do with lost love.
Yeah, I like to say we're all a little bit emo.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, this next song we're going to roll into is called Burn You Down, and it's a song that you guys did live, right?
Yeah, we did it at a place over in Newport Beach. So,
did you know going into this that you were going to play this song live and record it, and that you were going to, you know, perpetuate the song as a live recording?
Yeah, the venue is kind of nice because they have a live audio recording system, and they let you know that ahead of time. So you drop $10 and you get a CD. And that was actually our first show ever.
Wow. So another night. Oh, I've seen these things. So they record it, and everybody that's there can buy the CD for $10 because they're recording the entire show, right?
Yeah. And so it's kind of interesting because you get it, and it's got like 40 tracks on it, because it just kind of goes whenever you're like starting to slow down, I guess. It's like an automatic system. So I had to put it in a cakewalk and re-piece it all together.
Wow.
Find all the songs. But luckily, I got some decent recording equipment. So.
That's great.
It's a real thing.
Okay, tell me about Get Ready. That's also a live song.
Get Ready is actually acoustic, and now it's an actual rock song. That's how I wrote it. But at the time, we were on like a bit of a hiatus. We had to take a break because Carlos got sick, and it's just a rough time. But I got the song recorded, and it turned out pretty cool. And then like I named it Get Ready just because that was, you know, the repeated line, and I thought that was really catchy. And then I fell in love with it because I think the chorus, I think, was probably one of the best that we have.
Yeah, it's a great song. I really like it. Okay, Lead Me to My Grave, as they say. Tell me about Lead Me to My Grave.
Lead Me to My Grave is the first song we ever did. Chris was already playing around with that riff, and then I just grabbed the microphone, tried to jump in, and we'll do that from time to time just to see if we get anything going, just kind of start playing at our rehearsals, because we usually get about 2 hours at a rehearsal studio, and, you know, you run your songs and then you have extra time. And started doing it, and I wrote the basic melody lines for the vocals, and then later on started to work out the actual lyrics, and then Chris just came up with, that's the only song that has like just completely random name, because Chris already wanted to name it that.
So you already had that implanted in his brain, if that's what he was going to call it, right?
Yeah. He was like, that's the name that I want. I was like, okay, fine, you know.
Let's do a sidebar here. The sidebar being, I was just curious, and I haven't asked any band this so far, but it just dawns on me that I haven't asked this question, and I think it's a pretty good question. You know, back in the 60s, in my day, when we had the rock band and stuff, we were always doing Battle of the Bands. You know, we always did Battle of the Bands, you know, and a lot of times, some of the best gigs that were local, like in my case, in our band's case, there was a place in Dallas called Market Hall. It's still there. But it used to be this big venue for the local radio station, which, is, of course, they were all AM back in those days, KLIF. And that's when Jimmy Rabbit, which was the DJ there, and, I, of course, I claimed the Rabbit name when I started the Dave Rabbit persona. It was kind of a homage to him. He went on, actually, he went on to California, became a big DJ out there in L.A., I think, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so we'd always play, we did these Battle of the Bands, and because we had this influence with this big name disc jockey here in Dallas, I mean, it really kind of gave us an edge to a degree, but I mean, it was still based on obviously who was the best and whatever. And they had this deal to where they would bring in these headliners. We played with the Five Americans, Little Stevie Wonder at the time, the Young Rascals. I mean, and just groups like that. I think the Kinks was actually the headliner for that year that we did this Battle of the Bands. And I mean, like, there's like 40 or 50 bands that came to Market Hall and did this Battle of the Band thing. And then they had judges and whatever. And we ended up being, one of the picked bands. But I'm just curious. I mean, is it like that? I know you're in California, but I mean, is it like that now that to really get a really good gig where you're competing against other independent artists, do you even still participate in Battle of the Bands?
I know that there's a few places that do it. We tried to do it at my old college campus, actually, back in September, but that was right when I got sick. I had allergies, got all, like, puffy, so I couldn't even move my hands, so we had to drop out, and that was really unfortunate because the winner of that one gets to go play, like, their kind of homecoming night.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a big event where it's a bunch of people that are, doing sports rally stuff, and there's, like, 300 kids there, and that's always nice. But, we had to drop out, and we just got done doing an online Battle of the Bands, which was through Ernie Ball, which was – they were basically given up a spot on the Taste of Chaos tour, and that was with, like, 30 Seconds to Mars and Senses Fail and stuff like that. But
how do you do an online Battle of the Bands?
You kind of just upload your music, and then, the people go there and vote for you. And the other nice thing was Ernie Ball set it up to where people could download your music, too, so you could make a little bit of money if you had it, going pretty good.
So what song did you guys submit?
I put up 5 songs, which one was a live version of Cold, and then, our basics, our big ones are All Too Real's pretty much our biggest play on MySpace, and then next up is, like, This Is Our Time, and then Lead Me to My Grave, so pretty much just about all we had at the time, and then, since we started going again, we've gotten more songs going this, since January.
Yes.
us into Lost. I had to look at my notes. I said, I'm lost, Jason. But tell me about the song Lost.
Lost was another acoustic song that I'd love to turn into a rock song, but it's just not hitting me how to make it any louder because distorting it loses all the definition on those nice, you know, pretty minor keys and everything. So I did it acoustic, and actually the guys like it so much that they want me to do it acoustic at our show on Sunday night. So that'll be a first to kind of break up our show a little bit and go to an acoustic song.
Where are you going to be playing?
We're going to be playing at the Whiskey A Go-Go up in West Hollywood.
Well, I know about Hollywood. Been there when we went up to our little Hollywood trip to be with David Zeiger and do that DVD interview with me. And, you know, I loved California. I loved Hollywood. I loved L.A. You know, the thing I didn't like is you know, the highway driving. And we went over, you know, I mean, that was kind of a little... a little getting used to, you know.
Yeah.
And, but it was fun, and I mean, I love the climate. I mean, the climate's just killer out there.
Oh, yeah, it's always nice. I mean, this show means a lot to me because Hollywood's always been where I want to go because the whiskey and, like, the rocks here, you know, they're super old, and there's been so many famous people on those stages, and yet the sound systems are so good, and it's always so intimate, and yet they never oversell their places, so every time I go to see a show there, it's always the perfect place to see a band, and so to be able to be up there is just absolutely amazing and finally get that chance.
So do you start playing, like, Saturday night? Because we have a ton of fans in California. Do you start playing, like, Saturday night or what?
We're playing on just kind of Sunday night, and then, like, I said what, you know, genre we were, and then she hooked us up, so I'm assuming there's going to be other bands like that, but the last show we played at, they did a metal show, and I'm not sure why they invited us, because it was a bunch of, you know, scream metal, speed metal bands, and then there was us that kind of just completely broke it up, and it was an adventure.
an adventure, to be sure.
Yeah.
Okay, before we roll into the last song, I want to remind everybody again about Jason's website, which is www.myspace.com/flashovermusic. That's FLASHOVERMUSIC. I know it's like a MySpace place, but do you have can people buy your music there, Jason?
We have a demo done, but we did 4 songs. One of them we don't really play anymore, and then we never got a lot of production done on them because we didn't have our logos done yet or anything. So we were just kind of burning them and writing on Sharpie and throwing them out there for about $2 a pop. So I mean, people, you know, have emailed me about it. We're willing to kind of send it to them, but I think we're probably going to go back into the studio in a month or two and then put down 2 or 3 more good tracks, and then we'll go ahead and send them off to a duplicator because now we have our logo and everything, and get some real CDs to put up, and then hopefully the website will get finished. So
yeah, and it's a long process. I mean, it really is. Even some of the ones that I have already showcased on the Rabbit Zone told me that, you know, boy, putting the website together was like pulling teeth, because I mean, you know, if you don't know anything about programming, you're relying on people that do, and they go, well, what do you think about this? And you go,
yeah,
it's okay. Okay, but, you know, that's really not what we want. Then they go back and they do their little programming stuff, and you go, geez, you know, it's like pulling teeth sometimes when you're talking to these geek guys, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to roll into this last song, but before we do, I want to tell you, Jason, what a real pleasure it is to actually talk to you, because we have emailed each other back and forth a few times, and you're just a great guy, and in your songs, and the band, and, you know, just your total package, if you will, as a threesome, really sounds great, and I'm just a real fan of Flashover. I hope that the fan base really starts digging you guys and digging your music, because you guys really have a lot to offer, and I will always do anything I can to help promote Jason, Corey, Chris, and Carlos, and the band known as Flashover. So I can't thank you enough, Jason, for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me. I mean, I think it's really important what you're doing. It's really nice to kind of give something back to, you know, some of the troops and stuff that listen to you, because they're just doing so much, you know, and we're just doing our little music thing. So
you're doing a good job of it. You're doing a great job of it. So I want you to stay online with me, and we're going to roll into your song. I just want to remind everybody to remember that you don't have to support a war to support the troops. Peace, everybody.
The green.
Just experienced Dave Rabbit and the Rabbit Zone. For more fun, audio, and video, visit Dave's official podcast home at www.daverabbit.podomatic.com. Until next time, this is Charlie Cooper, and like the man says, peace.
This is the time we stand.